Good morning, Holiday Island Park Improvement District Board of Commissioners regular meeting, Monday, June 23rd, 9 a.m. is in session. I call this meeting to order, we'll stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will Secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Stitt?
Here.
Commissioner Pinkley? Not here. Commissioner Ralph?
Here.
Commissioner Roachford, here. Commissioner Reagan?
Here.
I declare we have a quorum, a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes for May 27th regular meeting minutes and June 11th special meeting minutes? I think everybody got an email, had a chance to read them over.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for May 27th regular meeting and June 11th special meeting minutes. Ceremonials, I don't believe we have any. Any announcements? We'll hear public comments. Beth?
Ben Hall, 113 Beaver Drive. Came here today to talk about the pool permitting situation here. I've got a family reunion coming, and this isn't about my family reunion or anything, it's about the overall picture of it, I guess, and sort of. I know it's been a deal in the past at some meetings when I hadn't been here, it's been some questions about it. But now that I've got this deal going, and I kind of put it together, obviously, wanted to have everybody come to Holiday Island. Most of my family have not been here, so it's kind of cool getting it together to come here. So we've got like 70 people coming, and we're staying in all the Airbnbs in Holiday Island, excuse me. And it's I'm getting a lot of calls now and realizing how many owners aren't permitted, and I get it. I'm on the A&P Commission. I should probably have access and know kind of all about that, but it's just kind of been a lot of organization going on between everything. And, so I'm not asking for any special favors here for my deal. But going forward, is there something we can figure out to have like a family reunion package that we can offer people where regardless if the owners have the permits for their guests to swim at the pools, to have that worked in somehow? I mean, I know you can rent the pools, you know, for the day or whatever, but not on holiday weekends and that sort of thing. Generally, you know, family reunions will take place on some of those holiday weekends because it's a long weekend for everybody. So I'm just thinking, kind of going forward, is there anything that you guys can come up with or that would accommodate such an issue? It's literally like, I think we have 18 places reserved or more, and only three of us have permits. I mean, I personally have an Airbnb, and I have the permit for my guests. I can't imagine not offering that to my guests, but apparently we have a bunch of owners that do, and that's their prerogative and whatever. But we've got two pools, and they don't offer it on their link, so you know, they're not doing anything wrong. Their guests are aware of what they, you know, are offering based on their link, but a bunch of people assume, you know, seeing other ads about pools, the rec center, and all that, and then they get here and show up to the pool and can't get in. And it's just a huge misunderstanding, I think, or communication, rather.
But wait a minute, they can't get in?
If the owner does not have a pool permit for the guest to use, an Airbnb guest, If the owner has not bought the permit to the pool, the guest cannot get in.
I thought we were doing the $6 thing.
We are. There's a thing on here and it says rental guest daily fees.
Right. The owner has to have a permit. I've been talking to Janice about this for months, but not about this issue, but just about the permitting and just the pool. I'm just very passionate about this place and interested in how it works. So, and now it's come to this, and I'm like, man, this is crazy.
So if you we're going to do a family reunion of 75 people, you could also rent the pool.
I know. We did approach that back in, I started this back in December organizing this thing and, you know, started figuring that out. You can't rent the pool on a week, a holiday weekend. So that's out. So again, so she told me we could have, all have access Saturday when we have, because we have the barn rented. So she said, well, for that day, your family can come in. But the other days, unless their owner has a permit, they can't come to the pool. And so like Friday is our big free day where, you know, third, we're all getting here the third and leaving the sixth. You know, the fireworks shows the third, the fourth is kind of a free day for us to hang out in Holiday Island and the pools and all of that stuff. And it's like, what? I can't go to the pool. So do I just email or text everybody a picture of my permit and they're all staying at my place?
I'm not, I'm totally confused. On the schedule for those people, and it's $6 per day.
It should be $6 per day.
I guess we need to communicate that to Janice because she said they, if they show up and they don't have a permit, they cannot get in.
We should also probably think about putting together a family reunion package, like the barn and the pool.
We do that. I mean, I'm open to suggestions.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm doing.
But as far as your people or those other people, it's right on the schedule. They get in. It's $6.
Okay. Regardless if the owner,
regardless if they have a permit or not. We went through this last year when we did this about
here. Yeah.
Kids coming here and can't go swimming. Yeah.
Well, we're still faced with that problem. The way I understand it, they're not going to let my family in if they don't have a permit from the owner.
I'll get with Janice. We'll figure out something.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I'm not here to ask favors for my family to have access. This is a problem, like, for Holiday Island, in my opinion.
I think we addressed it last year. That's why we implemented for the people that
they don't have a permit,
it's $6. If it's a resident, it's $5.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's the impression I was under, and that's kind of why I'm just now approaching it, because I thought this was the case, and now I'm finding out it's not. So that's why I'm freaking out.
Yeah, rental guest daily fee.
I'm 62 Holiday Island Drive. I believe all of the discussions last year that you had with this, Janice was, her issue is their people have no clue who is staying at an Airbnb. They can't, the people that come in can't prove they're at an Airbnb to get the rental fee.
But to me, if they can't prove that they're part of it, it's $6.
Yeah, it says rental guest.
They don't have to prove anything. If they can't prove a reduced amount, they pay the $6. If they can prove something else, it could be less.
So
yeah, that's the thing though, because then you can have everybody walking in from Holiday Island come in and say, hey,
right.
I'm at the Airbnb.
You're right. Then it becomes
a problem. Then it's a problem. Yeah.
That's where Janice was coming from. Her people have no way of knowing they're officially at an Airbnb.
Well, Ben, I think you need to come up with some sort of a card or something that these people have that prove that they are staying at an Airbnb that does not have a permit.
I kind of already have something I'm working on. It's literally just a QR code. It's that simple. You just attach the rules or whatever link to this QR code. They show up on their phone. I don't know. Their system's not in place yet, obviously, at the pool, but there's ways around it. Or just a simple bracelet that you could produce and give them to the owner. I don't know. I can come up with something, though, when at time.
But for this, for your situation, for this one event, I would make sure that you email Rich right now a list of your guests.
Okay.
That's 70 people that he then could share with Janet and say, these people, here's the check the box, that this is part of the event. That handles this one event.
Yeah.
But to your point, Johnny or Susie renting one B&B that doesn't have that permit, there needs to be a proof.
That's right. Yeah, there's got to be. Otherwise, the public shows up. And, you know, here's the other deal. So I get it on Janice's part, but there's no lifeguard. We got liability issues here, too. And the other thing is I got a message that I saw from my aunt that sent me the message from her owner, which was a terrible message from a host. Anyway, basically saying, hey, cancel. Like, you know, we don't have access to the pools or whatever, kind of that thing. Like, that's not very welcoming to Holiday Island. Holy cow. So anyway, kind of losing track of where it's going.
Well, I would suggest going forward, these people that are in an Airbnb, and they go to the pool, and they bring a little copy of their rental agreement, that more than that tells Janice, these people are staying in Holiday Island, the rental agreement has the dates.
It's literally black and white on their phone. It's on the Airbnb link. They can show them the reservation.
Yeah.
And it shows the house and the address and everything. So, I mean, just an Airbnb link is all you have to do to show proof that you're here. You know, we don't need to come up with a system. System's in place.
Yeah.
All that Janice has to do is, can I see your link to your reservation, whether it's Holiday Lodging, Holiday Island Lodging, Airbnb, Vrbo, whatever platform they rent it from, they've got access on their phone.
Okay, well, that, to me, that's proof that they're staying here.
Bam, there you go, there's your system.
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
Anyway, Ben, what is your proposal for a family reunion rate?
Well, I don't know about that yet. I'm based on, so I'm kind of the guinea pig here for doing this, honestly, and I've really gone through the organization of it to try to implement this here at some point. Now, it kind of goes with the AMP Commission stuff. I need something to promote and advertise here, and this is one of the things I think is huge in the summer, having pool access and not getting bogged down with all this. That's not attractive, right?
Right.
If we can fix this, actually maybe introduce lifeguards. Maybe we do have too many people showing up at the pool and there's liability issues. That needs to be all investigated, obviously. Janice is worried about that. That's one of the things. The other thing is, too, is we got a bunch of retired people here that didn't plan on having a bunch of guests just show up at the pool. You know, they feel like they moved here for that, but that's kind of changed over the years, and we've got a lot of vacationers. I mean, this is just what I'm back, you know, people are bouncing off of me. So there's, you know, liability stuff, there's maybe a lifeguard to introduce. The one owner that replied back said, look, we've got, and he's wrong. He says, we have like 300 rentals here, and we have like 85 plus. So he's way off. He's like, well, what if two people from the community showed up? There'd be 600 people at the, you know, like, no, man, they have apartment units that have pools and it's an occupancy load. If there's too many people, you just can't get in. You know, it's one of those deals. It's not, you know, so that didn't make any sense at all. And then he brought up the liability thing. And I don't know who the owner is yet, but, and it doesn't matter. But at any rate, so there are things to look at. Liability, possible lifeguard, the reputation of those budgeted in. I just think the money's there.
You get so many people, then you're in liability.
$200 and the owner's still going to spend.
For how many people,
I mean, that's what it
people
comes down
to. Have a lifeguard.
And so they're just like, no, I'm not doing it. I won't offer it. Most of my guests aren't going to go. They're going to go to the lake. Well, come to find out, most of my guests go swimming because I accommodate the crap out of them with it.
Yeah.
Like all the swimming stuff, everything. Go to the pool. You know, it's right down. It's on the island. It's right down the street. I mean, it's a huge attraction. So anyway, that's all it was.
Thank you, Dad.
Yep, no problem.
Any other public comments? Okay, now it's your question, Mark.
I'm sorry?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
During an issue, we may talk.
No.
I'm just happy that you're coming on.
Any reports?
So I got with a terrace, the water leak detection thing, and me and Dan had a little meeting with them, and they described everything. They can find up to a 0.2 gallon per minute leak. They have to do a scan for 48 hours to find, to that way it's solid, that way they don't think it's irrigation or anything like that. They can go up to 10 foot deep into the surface, and they can find wastewater leaks too. And then they have a 250-mile max. So the video, I mean, talking with that guy, I mean, over Zoom, was very informative. And then he sent me the price. Laugh. I mean, yeah. I'm like, I don't want to see this. 1 year, you can do it 1, 2, or 3 year. 1 year is right around the $60,000 mark. 3 year, $54,000. And that's... annually, you'll $54,000 every year. And they do, that comes with two imagings of 48 hours a year, and then it comes with four licenses to have access to everything you need, and that is four men, boots on the ground, finding the leaks after they do the imaging. So I was like, when he sent me this, I was flabbergasted. I thought it was going to be up around $100,000. Easy.
I guess... now the question is, and David's project is, how many leaks and how much water do you have to find to break even?
Well, and that's what he's asked me what my goal was, and we're at 70% plus right now. And I said, within a year, I want to be 50% water loss. In 3 years, I want to be at 30%, which is national average, or less. And he said, with the 3-year plan, we can get you down to a 30% water loss. So, I mean, it's, yeah. You can't, yeah, not, probably not guaranteed. But you can't compare, I mean, you're apples and oranges, because what costs us to produce the water isn't that much. But just the fact that this amount of money and to find the leaks and get them stopped so that way we don't have the water loss as bad, it's worth it.
And then I'd like to add on some research I had before, even, I wasn't part of that meeting, but when I was doing initial research and talking with them, what's nice about it is they really highlight the two different scans, minimum of two different scans. So they do the 48-hour, then they have all the analytics, the AI computers doing all their analytics behind the scenes for what's normal, what's not. And then if you come back with that second scan, that just, it zeroes it in. So they're like, that was a fluke. Nope, that's now standard, or that's not our new baseline. So in doing that, it really does help. And when you look at that price that they're quoting now, or their bid, versus just the regular typical acoustic that we've done typically, we're in the 40,000 range for a typical boots on the ground trying to hunt and peck to try and find.
Yeah.
So the technology, I think, is right, and it sounds very promising.
And I mean, the amount of money it takes to produce the water is sure as low, but just the stress on the pumps.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be eliminating that $54,000 could be eliminating a $280,000 well.
Well, as someone brought up before, I believe it was Dan, is that running these pumps at maximum,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time, more than 80%, is not good for the pumps or the system.
Yep.
And if we could reduce that to 50 or 60%, I think the price is, you know, a bargain. It's,
oh, yeah.
I guess as a board, we have to decide. And I saw some cheap shots on social media saying that there were, because of the amount of money, we need three bids. And somebody, I won't name who, but said, there are other companies that do this. Though I've looked and I don't know of any other company that does this kind of work. So I think all said and done, there's no way we can get three bids to do this. And whoever, and I don't know if you respond to this person, but they said there was a couple other companies.
To that point, I very rarely, people know me, I very rarely reply on social media. That's one of my things. So this one I definitely wanted, because if this person said there were bids out there, I'm not aware of it. Because I have, this is a definite single source kind of technology that I'm aware of. So if you know somebody, I ask them, please let me know who you have so we can send that to you and you can get bids.
Well, did you hear
any facts on that?
I was curious, because we looked at this 6 months ago. And the only name that comes up is this one.
As a matter of fact,
I thought, well, maybe somebody else got in this game since we looked at it some time ago. But
I would add a kind of my rebuttal to that is, and this is where I discussed with Rich, is I think we're actually meeting the intent of the law of the three bids and the fact that the leak detection is our issue. How we get to the leak detection and find that, we have two solid bids from two other acoustic type water detection bids. So to me, if you want to do, it's not an apples to apples in any situation, but we have looked at other sources, and that's why I know that those 40 to 60 comparison, 60K comparisons of a typical standard acoustic type versus
satellite
imager, we're trying to find leaks. That's what we're trying to do. So I think we're still meeting the intent.
We have bids to find for three leak detection companies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing stated that we ever have to take the lowest bid. We can take whatever bid we want under circumstances that we are investigating.
That's true. We can say that our requirement for this is satellite imagery.
Yeah.
And if the other ones don't qualify, too bad.
Exactly. It's not an apple to apple.
And for the next thing the board has to consider and think about it, I'm going to pay for this.
And for it to find a 0.2 gallon a minute leak, I mean, I'm sure they can find big leaks. Anybody can find them. But for that's a small leak for them to actually get satellite imaging from.
That's my garden hose left on.
Yeah.
Can I
not even
make a comment?
You said you weren't going to.
I thought you weren't going to talk.
I said it unless prompted. So it is your fault. Dan Keyes, 120 Holiday Island Drive. Just something to think about. You know, before you know, if you're considering whether you do the 1 year or the 3 year contract right off the bat, think about what you would do with the data. I mean, if they find
you know, if they find that our water leak problem is let's say a dozen fairly decent sized leaks, that's a solution you can work with. If they find out that we have 1,000.2 gallon per minute leaks, what are you going to do with that data? There's no way that Dan's going to go out there and dig 1,000 holes in the road and fix that small leak. So hopefully they can tell you, this is a big leak, this is a little leak. The little leaks aren't worth worrying about. Fix the big ones and you'll bring your water loss down. So,
and everyone I've ever seen, it gives you the leak with the gallons per minute that is estimated leaking.
Right.
So you can
scale out of that information.
You can start with big ones.
So I think, you know, the lower ones, these small ones, those are small potatoes. I think the first thing we have to go after is all the big ones.
Yeah. Now, that's my 2 cents worth. I think it's a bargain.
Dan, what's your comment about 1 or 3 years?
Well, if you have 1 year's data and it's data that you can work with, then it would pay to go into an extended contract for ongoing leak detection. But if they, you know, if the first year's data really doesn't produce something that you can work with, then, you know, why have a 3 year contract for 3 years worth of data that you can't do anything with?
Okay.
Thank you, Dan. Do you have to decide whether you take the 1 year or 3 year up front, or can you wait after the first year, so like he's talking about, see if the data is good enough to go on to the 3 year?
We would have to decide if we're going to do the 1 year or the two or three, right at the signing of the contract. And this bid is good until September.
Yeah.
Till September?
Yeah. Okay. It'd just be whether it's $6,000 savings in 1 year to 3 year. Well, for that first year.
Yeah, true.
I kind of agree with Dan. Maybe we ought to do a 1 year and see what we actually get.
But then you don't
get. And then if it's very good information, then we look at a 3 year deal later down the road.
That way it's 4 years.
Yeah.
But the only problem is, you know, like always, price is going to go up. But if we get a good imaging of it, then maybe we can go back and be like, oh, okay, let's do the 3 year now and still get that same rate.
Refresh my memory of what you said. So in the 1 year, if we went with the 1 year package, that gives you one satellite scan, or is that still two?
Two.
Still two.
Still two.
Okay.
So every year you get two satellite scans, you get four licenses for all the data, and then you get four people on the ground. Okay. I think it was four guys for 40 hours.
And I know that you said that this bid is good till September, but I would like us to try and get a vote one way or the other as soon as we can. To your point, once we figure out the money where we can pay from, the reason I don't want to get that done is because depending on how the data goes, that could tie into how we do our roads, because we don't want to find some big leaks under roads that maybe we're paving of the 8 miles that we might be working with the city on. So the sooner we can get that imagery, we can then forecast which roads we need to tackle for.
A little preventative maintenance there.
Right. Yeah.
Cart in front of the horse kind of deal. Oh, and then July 12th, the joint meeting, the ballroom has been booked, so we're all set for that. And then.
Wait a minute, I thought the ballroom was already filled for that date.
July 12th?
Yeah.
Nope, I checked. It's nothing going on July 12th, and I booked it from 9 to 1.
Okay.
That's all I got.
New business. I have a motion to receive and approve the May financials.
I'll make a motion that we receive and approve the May financials.
I'll
second. I moved and seconded. Is there any discussion about the May financials? I have only one comment that I looked at. Concerning the restaurant, and obviously we're looking at that every day just because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
And the only question I had was the
wages for the month of May, the wages were $16,579. And I'm wondering if that's on track, if that's going to go up, if it's going to go down.
If we can get more cooks, it'll go down. Our biggest problem is getting employees for, is getting cooks, more cooks. Spencer's putting in a lot of overtime because he's basically the only cook we have. There's another part-time one, but yeah, and that's our biggest expense is Spencer with his overtime.
So we only have one, basically one and a half cooks? No?
Messy.
No, I have four now. We just hired another one. The hard part is I have Spencer and a person there the majority of the time, just in the fact that if you want the food to come out and trying to plan and prepare. So on Sunday mornings, I know when church hits that I'm going to need an additional person in there. Spencer is there the majority of the time. He is working on getting people trained to be able to take a day off. I mean, because I'll tell you, and since we opened, we've had two total days that we have not been there at some point. And I will also tell you, as far as burnout goes, it is definitely hitting hard. So we are working on getting people trained that can provide the same quality and service that we expect while we're there. And that's a very difficult part. The people that I have hired now, though, I feel like they are doing a good job. I am short on servers right now. But the expense that we bring in with those servers will not be as much as what it is as far as the kitchen help goes.
The reason I bring it up is in the month of May at $16,500, if that continues for a year, that's $200,000 that we only have about $117,000 budgeted.
Absolutely.
Well, so I have raised the issue now, early on. I mean, definitely we got time to.
Absolutely, but I will also say, and I have not seen the financials yet because that must have went out this morning, and today was my morning to come in late. So I came here for the meeting. I have not seen the numbers as far as our sales go, because typically what you figure is 30% of your labor. Your labor shouldn't be at or below 30% of your food sales.
Well, your food sales for May was almost 40,000, which is great. Mm-hmm.
So
when it all washes out, you're still up by about a grand. The expenses versus the revenues, which is far cry better than it was a year ago. So I'm not alarmed, but I'm just looking at the numbers thinking, you know what, we got to do something about the labor, because we can't afford $200,000 a year in labor just for the restaurant. It's just, you know as well as anybody, that the money's just not there.
Absolutely, but as long as my sales are there to support it, then that also makes a very big difference.
Agreed. And your sales are doing well.
My food and alcohol and non-alcoholic beverage cost is going to be higher than what we originally budgeted, because the amount of food that I'm sending out, I have to be able to replace. So overall, I mean, everything's going to end up going up, but my sales are also increasing with that.
Oh, they are. Year to date, you've done almost $79,000 in sales.
And I will tell you, from the numbers that I've looked at from the first of the month to now, I've increased around $400 a day in sales. So then that's going to go up as well. So, I mean, we're gradually increasing.
I'm looking at that we're really not in the busy season yet. It's going to pick up, I think, through July, August, September. I think the numbers are going to be better.
Absolutely. Well, and I'll tell you that we're working with the recovery center, so we've taken that on. So we're providing the majority of their meals. So that is additional income that we have come in on a daily basis. So we've tried to find ways to prepare them quality meals at a lesser cost, so that way we can fit their budget needs as well as bringing money in.
Okay. Anybody else have comments about the financials of things? We've had a motion and a second to approve the financials. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consider action to approve resolution 2025-R1, section 4, taxes, which is, I have a motion to discuss this resolution 2025-R1.
I'll make a motion that we discuss resolution 2025-R1.
No, second.
It's been moved and seconded. It's open for discussion. My only comment is this whole long-winded thing is, the bottom line of this resolution is that we're no longer paying the sales tax on everything that people buy at HICID, and that's the only thing we changed. David, you want to read the line and we'll vote.
So this is voting on resolution 2025-R1, a resolution setting the amenity fee and rental fees of the district, specifically revising section 4, additional terms to state, number one, all prices do not include applicable sales tax. And so that's the vote. Commissioner Stith?
Yes.
Commissioner Ralph?
Yes.
Commissioner Rutherford, yes. Commissioner Reagan?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Resolution 2025-R1 has passed. Moving on with consideration to approve regulation 2025-003, the code of conduct.
Make a motion we open up discussion for the regulation 2025-003, code of regulation amending chapter 2 of the code of regulations to include establishment of a code of conduct for the Holiday Island Suburban District Board of Commissioners.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. It's open for discussion of the regulation of the code of conduct.
I wasn't here last week when it was discussed, but I listened to the recording and I don't see a problem with it.
Well, my only comment last week, and still is that I agree with having a code of conduct. The only part I have that I have an issue with, and it didn't change, is this statement about how it's a penalty of removal as stated in chapter 2, which it, it's very misleading, and that's the issue I have. Aside from that, I think we need it. I think it's a good idea. I just think making an idle threat about removal is a waste of time.
So in that terms, then, what would be your preferred wordage, then, verbiage? Because, I mean, we can say removal because we're removing them as a board of commissioner, and they're now becoming a member at large. So we're removing their title. They're
but
now
a
member at large.
If they're a member at large, there's nothing. If they're already a member at large, you can't do anything. So I just think that's a nothing statement that
it's a
makes
deep
it a vital threat that really isn't there. As far as all the stuff, I agree with all that.
Okay.
I don't know that we need to say that there's a penalty in it.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
But I do agree with having this. I think it's a good idea. It's just that, to me, there's so many regulations that get passed, and there's no enforcement. They're not even a point passes. That's my only comment about it.
So then you would just like the under penalty of removal to be removed. So it would just state, the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners shall hold themselves accountable for the following principles and guidelines as stated in Chapter 2. That part? Or what?
Yeah.
Which,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
so just remove those five words.
Yeah.
Four words.
Yep.
Okay.
And I brought that up last meeting, and I thought, you know what, I would go on with this. We just take that out. It's a word that it means nothing.
Okay, we'll get a new one out.
So we'll table this one, is that the?
I don't know if we can vote on this with the striking of removal of this, these four words, or if we have to rewrite it and then represent it. It's a regulation, so you gotta do two readings on it regardless. Yeah, I say we just do it by the book and make sure we cover ourselves. We can rewrite it, striking them words, and then we can bring it back up for
the first vote next time.
Yep, so we're gonna table it with the removal of these words.
There's no hurry. We're not under the deadline. Let's just table it for the time being.
Yep. We will table it for the removal of the words.
Regulation 2025-003, the code of conduct is tabled for the time being.
Got it.
Moving on to approve the closing of the UV project bank account that we're.
Let's do a vote on that.
Oh, okay. All those in favor of tabling regulation 2025-003, the code of conduct, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Moving on, consideration to approve the closing of the UV project bank account. Do I have a motion to discuss this?
I'll make a motion to discuss closing the bank account.
Awesome.
It's been moved and seconded. It's open for discussion. It's because we're not going to do the UV project with a loan. There's no point in having a bank account. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory that it's not anything we're doing.
Right. It was open with the purpose of, but there was never funds that were transferred into it. Nothing ever touched that account.
Was this the money that was collected for the UV on the water bills was to go into that account?
Yes.
Where did that money go anyway?
It's just sitting in the water account. We haven't started working on the separation of it, put it in its own account yet.
Okay, so then I don't see crap closing this one. There's nothing there.
Correct.
Yep.
I make the motion to close the bank account for the UV project.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're back to public comments. Mr. Mills.
Hey.
Great.
Morning, y'all. Ken Mills from Wind Rockies, not Circle. I think one of the issues that in the leak detection thing that I didn't hear talked about is the cost for repairs. Both, you know, fixing the leaks, fixing the roads. I mean, you know, one of the biggest factors we have with our roads is where we made utility cuts. So I mean, there's a big expense. I think if your crew doesn't have to spend all the time fixing leaks.
Ken, I agree, and I think if this ultimately comes to fruition and we are inundated with an overwhelming amount of major leaks, I think the district manager will be looking for additional employees to make these repairs. Because I don't think, if it's overwhelming, I don't think we have the manpower now to even do it.
I don't foresee. I think if you can find them and fix them, I don't think it's going to result in additional manpower. I spent some time on this too, and we did that. The number of leaks were six or seven, something like that, and on the island when we had a survey done. So, I mean, it could happen, but it's. If we can eliminate them and reduce the amount of time we spend fixing them, there's a big saving.
Well, I think everybody here agrees that this is probably the most effective way to find them, to at least attack the large leaks, which could reduce our consumption by who knows how much.
Well, yeah, it definitely needs to be done. I mean, this is a problem. This is not a new problem. This has been going on for 30 years that I've been here.
My dream is to hope they can find like three big leaks on water lanes, lines that we didn't know were going through a certain area.
Right.
And then you know, were taken care of, but that's probably a big wish.
The attempts that I've been familiar with, we've never found any big ones.
Any other public comments? Commissioner comments? Very well, we'll schedule the agenda for the next meeting.
I got July 21st for the work session and July 28th for the regular meeting. As long as there's no holidays that I know of.
And then July
12th is the joint meeting.
So, as I understand it right now, there will not be another meeting before the meeting with the city. This is it. So, I did talk to Rick Reagan the other day at the Rotary meeting about Cindy facilitating the meeting on the 12th. And Rick said he would talk to Cindy, but she's pretty ambitious and be more than happy to help us out again. We have a motion for an adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
I moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?